Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yo, si helele mama, helele. Yo, si helele mama, helele. Yo, si helele mama.
Fedile ni bo papa
ba tsware tsile pasa
u helele
se dimela si batser ba fela tsi tshohane u helele asimani ba sitsana ba tshabile so wetso
u helele
masiani ba sat ba setse ba li bangwe
u helele
tangle bonang matata Afrika. Yo, si helele mama,
u helele.
Yo, si helele mama,
u helele.
Yo, si helele mama,
u helele.
Masogoko, no mama. Idosi nifukini, masibu yele makaya.
Uhelele
iyo, sihelele mama.
Uhelele
naka na kwise kasele tamini. Tamini epo tiniwe hamato tapelile.
Uhelele
asigwe.
Baya kala
ubisi luphelile
uhelele
abatsotsine simpimpisi yakhathaza
uhelele
buhlungu madoda lendaba yase Afrika
uhelele
iyo sihelele mama uhelele iyo sihelele mama
uhelele
iyo.
Well, a fine Saturday to you. Welcome to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. It's always a pleasure knowing that you're out there tuned in and locked into the broadcast right here on Manchester's numero uno, yes, Manchester's Afrobeat station. At Africa Weekly, we keep you up to speed with all of the happenings on the African continent during the course of the week, from current affairs to culture and tourism, entertainment, and of course, sports, the toy department of life. We've got you covered. Africa Weekly is proudly presented by Chris Okunowa. And yours truly, Manuel Ete. There's a lot to share on today's show. So for now, here's something though from Eriga and Victor Aidy. But we'll return, we'll delve into all we have.
Abe, Mugabe, tell you to observe it. For this industry.
Motivate yourself,
Eriga. Yeah, Rigma. Even me say now when I go, now everywhere boss. People won't know if not true, they check his tablet. Rappers they throw back, he happy, won't kill them die. I say Rick down all day again, people go feed them die. Even rappers, when they post my song before, fake love, don't put me for their profile picture. They screenshot their DM, when now they write them, say make we run features, CBC problem. Followers do increase, go 1.5M. OAP since money, they jab me for FM. My videos when San City, no agree, accept. They on every rotation, even my concert. I saw it for me, but Oluwa forbid. My song go speak for me, any year you be. Who go better, na time it go take. They break every impulse for goodness sake.
I say tell them the full story, but they know they believe, oh, hey. No matter how you watch film, the story inside no fish, hey. I mean they give them the full order, but they know believe, oh, hey. Who God don't bless, what people no fish, hey. Area, oh, area, oh, area, oh, hey.
When I no get back that year when I dey a jeba. Madam know me just put soup with five ever. No be enjoyment I come for na survivor. No be here to go, waiting man go do. I ran to the thief way from people motto. They say give who get, I pass my neighbor. Rechargeable lamp, they listen to all my debo. I say they give us gist about celebrities. No internet, na him be our everything. I remember when I track her for DBS. Give her my jam, me no play her, me pay my chest. Because I know the stress when I don't go through. No sponsor self, na money when I save from school. Now I take record down, what team man go do? Give up, don't join, I'm falling somewhere else.
I mean, they tell them the full story, but they know they believe, oh, hey. No matter how you watch film, the story inside no fish, hey. I mean, they give them the full order, but they know believe, oh, hey. Who God don't bless, what people no fish, hey. Area, oh, area, oh, area, oh, hey.
Omo, you see the character. Now only time you go take it. Tamara go call you papa name. Real matters, man. Motivate your motherfucking self, man.
He didn't mean it, okay? He didn't mean to say the last word. He's just saying motivate yourself. Whenever you find yourself, just motivate yourself. And the reaction of the face of the producer. Welcome back to Africa Weekly. It is fine. Saturday, the 21st of March, 2026. Let's get Africa Weekly rolling. We start off with an August visitor in March to the United Kingdom, the president of Nigeria. His name is Bola Ahmed Tinubu. He's concluded a state visit to the United Kingdom. It's the first by a Nigerian leader in nearly four decades. Had the opportunity also to meet with the Prime Minister of Britain. His name, gentleman, Keir Starmer. And that happened in London just some hours back. They had conversations during the talks. They both agreed a major trade deal under which British Steel will supply around 120,000 tons of steel to help refurbish key port facilities in Lagos, part of a £746 million export finance package, which of course the goal is to boost the infrastructure in the West African country Nigeria. They also held discussions over border cooperation and security issues, climate change, threatening economic ties between Britain and Nigeria. Well, in all fairness though, it's a visit which underlines just how much global partnerships matter, but the key thing is for Nigeria under the current presidency to ensure that this foreign investment also delivers real long-term benefits at home. And for some, they say it's a checkered mark for President Tinubu and his quest to win re-election next year when the elections hold in Nigeria. For some, they say he has done absolutely nothing, so he shouldn't get the opportunity to go for a second term. But there'll still be loads of countdown to the elections next year. For now, though, those attached to his political party, APC, are celebrating his milestone visit to the United Kingdom. As I mentioned, it's considered to be the very first in over 4 decades, I had the opportunity to converse with the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. Away from the visits, somewhere in Sudan, they are marking Eid, but it's not too pleasant. This time, families in the country in refugee camps, celebrations not as expected because they're being overshadowed by the ongoing war. One particular location out there in Sudan, in North Darfur, it's called the Tawila camp. Many of those who gathered for prayers and shared meals are excited to be alive, yes, but also the mood is very heavy. Residents say the conflict has taken loved ones and also homes and any real sense of joy. A woman who is having a conversation with the media on ground was asked a question, how does she feel? And she went in to say, how can we celebrate Eid when our country, Sudan, is devastated? Others, of course, spoke of deep sadness after losing family and neighbors. The war in Sudan has forced millions from their homes, leaving many to observe what should be a joyful holiday in conditions of loss and uncertainty. Another stark reminder that for many, peace, not celebration, is the real prayer this Eid. Well, speaking of Eid, Muslims across Nigeria, they've marked the end of Ramadan. That Eid al-Fitri prayers, which gives them an opportunity to join millions around the world in celebration. Worshippers gathered in mosques and open prayer grounds in cities, including the economy capital, as they call it, Lagos, Abuja, which is the country's capital, Kano State, and Sokoto, observing the traditional congregational prayers that signify the festival. Eid al-Fitri is one of the most important dates in the Islamic calendar. It comes just after a month of fasting, which gives humans with senses the ability to reflect and also be charitable. And it's typically marked with prayers, family gatherings, and acts of generosity. And despite economic and security challenges in parts of the country, many Nigerians use the occasion to pray for peace, unity, and national progress, which is what the country needs at the moment. They need peace, they need safety, they need unity, and of course, progress in all facets. It's a powerful moment of unity. It's another opportunity. This sort of moment just gives everyone the opportunity to show how faith continues to bring people together even in difficult times. So I think it's just fair if I say happy Eid. Well, let's talk about rhinos who have been returned to Uganda's Kidepo Valley National Park for the very first time in over 4 decades, which marks a major conservation milestone. The animals, rhinos, were wiped out in the 1980s due to poaching. But wildlife authorities have now begun reintroducing them. They've started with a small group that has been relocated to or from a sanctuary. And some officials say the move is part of a broader plan to rebuild the population. And more rhinos are expected to be introduced in phases. The initiative is also aimed at boosting tourism, which is key, and restoring the park's natural ecosystem. Although there are concerns that we still might have poaching around and also regional insecurity. It's a rare piece of good news for conservation, proof that with sustained efforts, you know, even lost wildlives can make a comeback. So for the people of Uganda, notably in the Kidepo Valley National Park, this feels pleasant, you know, having rhinos back for the first time in God knows how long. Well, not just rhinos in the news, we also do have cheetahs making our current affairs news today. They are not being cared for this time. More than 100 rescue cheetahs being cared for in a sanctuary in Somaliland as conservationists battle what many consider to be a growing wildlife trafficking crisis. About 127 cheetahs, many taken as cubs, have been saved from illegal smugglers who target the animals for the exotic pet trade in the Gulf. And realistic news is that most of those cubs don't survive. They do not survive the journey because it's quite lengthy. And across the Horn of Africa, only about 600 cheetahs remain in the wild, with trafficking seen as a major threat to their survival. And authorities say The arrests have been made and efforts stepped up to stop the trade, but conservationists warn that the species still face an uncertain future without stronger protection and safe habitats. I think this is the only part where cheetahs are protected, because in real life, cheetahs get arrested. It's a powerful reminder, though, that human demand, not nature, is pushing some of the world's most iconic animals towards extinction. Still Africa Weekly, and this time in Madagascar, the president, he's the grand commander of all things order. This time he's made an order, he's ordered a lie detector test for anyone who is seeking to become a government minister. It's very controversial, but again, there are those who say this move is aimed at tackling corruption. Well, the president seemed to agree. His name is Michael Arandri Anirina, who says candidates must pass a polygraph test before they can even be interviewed as part of efforts to rebuild trust after dismissing his entire cabinet earlier this month. So if you are interested in being a government minister or working under the current president of Madagascar, first you need to learn how to pass a lie detector test. It could be an act for certain people. They're masters of lies, so just go and you pass it. But if you're not successful, and this comes even before the interview phase. The military leader, who came to power following a coup last year, says the goal is to identify officials with integrity, insists that the country needs leaders who are at least more than 60% clean. Okay, so now that's the good news, all right? You don't need to be 100% clean. Just be 60%, and you stand a chance of walking under the administration of Michael Arandri and Arena, the president of Madagascar. However, you've got critics who have questioned the reliability of lie detector tests. They've warned that it may just not be scientifically sound, not a perfect way for them to assess honesty. So just do away with the lie detector test, the critics are saying, while of course the president is saying no, before you even get interviewed for a position to become a government minister, you first need to pass at least 60%, and then we can have the conversation what position to slot you in. It's an unusual anti-corruption strategy, if I do say so myself, but if this will build trust or raise more doubts, it remains to be seen. Away from Madagascar, let's head to Cameroon. The country has once again delayed its parliamentary elections. That's it. Lawmakers voting to extend their mandate until the end of this year, 2026. The current parliament, elected in 2020, it's a five-year term, was already extended once and was due to end earlier this year. Officials say the delay will ease financial pressure and give more time to organize the votes, but the move is raising fresh concerns about governance and democracy. The president of Cameroon, I need to say this slowly, has been there since God knows how long. Well, I do know since how long he's been there. 1982. Yeah, that's long, okay? He's been president since 1982. He had earlier hinted at changes to the election timetable amid ongoing political tensions. The truth is, delays, repeated delays like this, just weakens public trust. It does, particularly in the electoral process and democratic accountability. They need to find a solution to this, particularly in a country like Cameroon, where no one trusts the ins and outs of the government under Paul Biya, the man who's been in charge in 1982. In South Africa, not too pleasant report here this Saturday. Dozens of young men have died following traditional circumcision rites, which have raised fresh concerns about safety. According to FIGA, at least 48 boys and young men lost their lives during the last initiation season. It's a cultural practice which marks the transition to manhood. Health risks linked to the ritual includes, of course, infections from certain tools they use, and most of them are unsterilized, dehydration and delays in accessing medical care, especially for those who are in remote areas. Authorities say illegal and unregulated initiation centers are a major challenge, despite efforts to enforce safety standards and prevent further deaths. We love traditions, okay? We need to always respect traditions, deeply respect them, but the loss of young lives shows urgent reforms are no longer optional. They are necessary, really necessary. And a weird act of tradition took place someplace in Nigeria, in Delta State. I promised myself not to talk about it, but everyone who's involved in that act of barbarism, that's what it was, should be arrested. And the Comoros, at least 18 African migrants have drowned off the coast while trying to reach the nearby French island of Mayotte, just around the Indian Ocean. The group of around 50 people were dropped off at sea by suspected smugglers some distance from shore. Officials say about 30 of this migrants survived and they had to be pulled out of water, but unfortunately 18 died, including young children. Many could not swim. Local residents, fishermen and authorities recovered the bodies near the town of Mitsamuli. Survivors, while they were being spoken to, said they were heading from the DRC, that's the Democratic Republic of Congo, towards Mayotte, attracted by hopes of better living conditions, infrastructure and welfare. In a nutshell, these are just basic amenities, but those people don't have it, so they need to find a way to emigrate, and most times they don't make it, just like this situation. It's a tragedy that highlights the dangers migrants face on dangerous seas crossing, facilitated by smugglers, all in pursuit of a better life. Very heartbreaking, notably the fact that children died. So many people just die chasing hope. It's another reminder of the human cost of irregular migration. I've got one more story in the current affairs segments. This one has to do with news coming through from Zimbabwe. The opposition groups in the country are pushing back against a proposed constitutional amendment that critics say would weaken democratic processes and extend presidential power. The draft changes include extending the presidential term from 5 to 7 and potentially replacing direct elections with a vote by lawmakers. It's a move seen as benefiting the president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, and his ruling party, the ZANU-PF. Opposition leaders, civil societies and church groups argue that the amendment would erode democratic accountability and reduce citizens' voice in choosing their leader. There are also reports of intimidation and violence against those speaking out against the proposal. Of course, there will be people who would fight against the people. It's the people who fight against the people. And those who fight against those fighting against these people are those who benefit from the government. Many Zimbabweans fear these changes could tilt the balance of power towards the ruling elite and away from the people's will. It's a serious test for Zimbabwe's democracy. Let's take a short break now. When we return in Africa Weekly, it'll be time for our tourism and culture segment. This is something new from Zimbabwe. Legendary act, musician. He's no longer on earth. He's ascended into heaven. Yeah. His name is Oliver Tuku Ntukuzi.
Uyo shoko kutwere nguwe toka funga dande va foma nanda funga kwedu funga dande va rumenda funga kwedu
Oliva Tuku Ndukuze, what a performer, what an artist. Welcome back to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. That was Zokwa Nyamwe. Yeah. Oh boy, what an artist. Welcome back. There's so much to touch on this segment of the show, the culture and tourism segment of Africa Weekly, the African continent, as we often say. It is a continent, it's not a country. Okay, so do not mistake having that conversation with a friend if you're listening, saying I'm going to Africa. Well, it's fair to say that, but you've got to be specific which of the countries you're going to. It's the world's second largest and second most populous continent, and at the moment the records say they've got about 1.4 billion people. It's also the birthplace of humanity. Yes, Africans are charitable, generous. From the vast sands of the Sahara to the lush jungles and the life-giving Nile, the country's geography is as varied as its cultures. And that's the truth, okay? I've got to say that it's a continent that's rich in natural resources like diamonds, cocoa, and minerals, and loads of wildlife, including lions, for English-speaking people, elephants, rhinos, and I had a conversation about this animal during the current affairs segment, cheetahs. The population, remarkably young, according to last check, a median age under 20. So it tells you it's youth, resources, and cultural richness. It's not just a cradle of humanity, Africa. It's a continent that's shaping the future of the world. And it's got Emmanuel Atim. So, yeah, that's a big deal, yeah? Shout out to Africa. Let's talk about the Southern African town of Stellenbosch. It's launched a new cultural program that's called Art of Origin Stellenbosch. It's been described as the most inclusive initiative of its kind to date. Well, organized by Visit Stellenbosch alongside the Art Association Stellenbosch, it's a program which invites people of all ages and backgrounds, from school learners to senior residents, established artists, and community groups, to submit original works, or artworks in this case, across multiple themes that reflect the town's identity. Submissions can be in any medium, and you have winners emerge. They will be featured in the 2027 Visit Stellenbosch Guides. The prize money awarded in several categories also there. Selected works will go on public display at the PJ Olivier Art Center later in June this year. And there will be a gala opening and exhibition which will run from the 5th to the 11th of June 2026, giving the opportunity to local creative and just give them exposure and encourage cultural participation from across the community. It's very refreshing and genuinely inclusive celebration of creativity. It's a way for, how do I put this now? For a town known for wine and history. Yes, that's what Stellenbosch are known for, to also be recognized for its people's artistic voice. So they're saying we are known for wine and Nkomboti and history, lots of it, but this time I want to tell you that a city also has lots of artistic value. I like that. One more, the current culture and tourism segment, and this has to do with artists in Sudan who have taken refuge in shelters. But still, as much as they are refugees in the sense, they are also working to rebuild cultural life amid the conflict. Musicians, you have them there, painters, poets, displaced by fighting, but they've been really, really intelligent to form this informal art groups inside camps, and they've organized performances, they've organized workshops and exhibitions to bring moments of joy and expressions to fellow refugees. During the interview, I got an excerpt from that interview. One of the artists said creativity helps people cope with trauma, and also aside from that, it also preserves Sudan's rich cultural heritage even as daily life is disrupted. Others who spoke says it's an opportunity for art to give children a sense of normalcy and connection in a landscape otherwise dominated by violence. Just trying to use art to inspire. It's very inspiring to see how even in the darkest times, human creativity just finds a way to mend spirit and keep cultural life. That's correct. Yeah, so let's pause for a bit. When we return, it'll be time for us on Africa Weekly this fine Saturday to dive into entertainment on the show. We bring you the latest buzz from music, movies, and maybe if I'm generous enough to give you some celebrity news across the continent. But there's something about Wizkid and his album sales. He's a superstar indeed. But speaking of which, this one is coming true from a guy who has, I think he's found wealth. Yeah, Ashake. He's in money that he never imagined he would ever. He's Mr. Charity. If you've got his number and you're broke, just call him. He would bless you. That's how he's feeling at the moment. He's gone to Mecca. He's touched the wall. He's giving alms. He's enjoying his life at the moment. Here's something from Ashake and Olamide. When we return, we'll talk entertainment in Africa Weekly.
Sous-titrage Société Radio-Canada. Shani Aka, oh Allah Habtar, Moti Mokotojo, Kula, Nakurani, Mima, Yesu, Tita, Alon Min Bebi, Akija, Kula Biko, Oh, Fah, Sewe, Kekele, Chewe, Wekewe, Mokwe, Karaka, Sunde, Oh, Oh, Tah, Dewe, Oh, Is your life they play, Oh, Weke, Fati, Kike, Kike, Fah, Sewe,
Welcome back. You're still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. This fine Saturday. Saturday, the 21st of March 2026. And that was Ribena. And what's the title again? Agbasiri. Okay, yeah, but I was having a conversation with a producer and I said the reason I can accommodate Ribena's tune, I mean, great guy, he's doing great for himself, is the love for the wife. Yes, Kid Baby, I'm a big fan of her comic and all of those things she put up, Twitter, TikTok, all of the, I'm a big fan of comedy. Yeah, so, and if I like the wife's content, I should like the husband's music. So yeah, that's it. And before that, you listen to Asake and Olamide's tune. It was, I mean, the song that pretty much just put Asake on the map, Omokwe. And I'd always love it for how the song started. Welcome back, Emmanuel Atim. Here, let's talk entertainment on Africa Weekly. I mentioned something about Wizkid. The Nigerian superstar, he has set a new milestone. Officially, according to all indications, he has become the number one best-selling African artist. The records say he has 13.18 million equivalent album sales worldwide. It's an achievement which reflects Wizkid's global influence and, of course, blending Afrobeat with international sounds and solidifying his status as one of Africa's most successful music exports. So, shout out to Wizkid. Big Bird, as he likes to be called, yeah, and keep flying, is that what they say? I told you that the 19th South African Film and Television Awards, SAFTAS, recently celebrated top creative talent in film and TV, with Shedza Pictures sweeping multiple honors and leading performances recognized across major categories. I always say this, you know, some would say, Emmanuel, you're not patriotic as a Nigerian, even if we're broadcasting from Manchester. I say the South African movie industry, when they put out a flick, and we've got the Nigerian movie industry called Nollywood, I'm not going to stay on the sideline. I'll toot my tent towards the South African movie and enjoy it. But hey, big fan of Nollywood. But South Africans, when they produce quality. Top quality. On the TV front, Bravo Africa is launching a new celebrity docu-series which will feature actress Tiamori, called Tiamori, My Next Act. It's set to premiere, of course, across the continent from the 29th of this month. So if you have an opportunity, you can go catch it. So in Kenya, the crime drama series Mzani continues to attract viewers after its early 2026 debut on Showmax, and it's a major investment in African original scripted television. So this is me also saying, if you have an opportunity to see it, go and see the drama series Mzani. There's really nothing much but a warm embrace to give to Nigerian gospel singer Judy Kay. She's opened up about a deeply personal and painful experience where she was talking about how she suffered uno, dos, tres, cat was five, yeah, five and six miscarriages. It was very emotional. The video put out on social media, she described how last year, February 2025, she was over 3 months pregnant when mild cramps and spotting quickly turned into, you know, her having heavy bleeding, just trying to, you know, trying to mask my words. But doctors confirmed a miscarriage and performed a medical procedure. Despite her public declarations of faith, because she's a gospel artist, she said the nights that followed were filled with private grief and moments where she cried out, Jesus, where are you? Even, you know, for someone who lives a life worshipping, as she wrestled with her pain, and as expected, you know, fans have poured in support after her testimony, with many praised her bravery for speaking openly about a struggle most gospel artists would keep private. It's another reminder, Judy Kay's story, that behind the spotlight, okay, this is a fact. The artists you see, the footballers you see, the musicians you see, the actors you see, the producers you see, face real human struggles, and sharing them can bring comfort and solidarity to others, because her testimony of, you know, how she's still standing on the faith despite suffering five miscarriages, even as a gospel artist, it could really test your faith. This is not a gospel show, okay? It's Africa Weekly, so I'm not going to get all biblical or Qurani to you. But big warm embrace to Judy Kay. It takes a lot to open up about this. It really does take a lot. Now let's talk about a man who I'm not sure if he's an atheist, if he's a Christian, if he's a Muslim, what religion he, if he believes in anything except from stream numbers. His name is Shank. He's quite controversial. He's packed a lively, they call it a lively debate though, after he claims that top comedians may actually be richer than Afrobeat stars. According to him, performers like Bovi, the comedian, and Basket Mouth, the comedian, producer, musician, but this time he's putting Basket in a bracket for comedians. He says they focus more on investing in long-term financial security rather than flashy lifestyles commonly associated with musicians, and that this could mean comedians quietly build greater wealth over time. So what he's saying, Shank, is, hey, Emmanuel, I know this conversation about who's got more money. I thought the conversation naturally, this is me speaking now, I was all about footballers and musicians. But Shank is saying, no, let's keep footballers aside, that musicians do not compare when it comes to quid, money. Yeah? And you talk comedians, and making reference to Bovi. Bovi is a top dog, you know, one of the brightest on the continent. I dare say the entire world, he's very smart. His comedy is up there with the best. Basket Mouth is Basket Mouth. He's been there since the days of yore. A Night of a Thousand Laughs and the likes. And now he does a tour across Europe. So he's also quality. And you expect his comments, that's Shank's comments, to stir loads and loads of conversations among fans and industry watchers about how entertainers, though, manage income and if public visibility truly reflects financial success. I don't think there's another word now. There's any mark that comedians shouldn't be flashy like musicians are. So I don't think it'll be a crime if you see Basket Mouth come on stage with all his bling blings and his, and all of those jewelries, as you see Weezy and David and Burna do. I don't think it would be a crime for you to see Bovi, for example, or Clint the Drunk, or any of those African comedians, you know, show their fleet of cars with Lambos and Ferraris, and so there's nothing stopping them from doing it. But for Shank is saying it's not in their nature, so that's why people confuse them as not having as much funds to musicians who naturally are expected to flash their wealth. It's just a reminder that fame and perceived wealth aren't always the same. Sometimes the biggest money makers are the ones flying under the spotlight, but for some, there's no way they would have money and they would not show it. Are you one of those people? I do not know. Well, let's go on this break. We've got barely a quarter of an hour left. When we return, it'll be time to talk my favorite part of the show, because all of the segments are my favorite, but we'll talk sports. Here's something though from a man who I'm sure has money and he likes to show it, Sako Die.
Man, I've been fighting this battle with demons inside of me. I just want to stay in my lane so nobody can bother me. Bitch, I'm too sensitive, intimate, touchy, me ego. Thought I had niggas and someone told me how they go ride for me. All along, all of them be jealous. Fake souls always make me nervous. Out of here, bitch, I'm on my peppers. Pull me down, still I'm breaking records. I'm on 1,000, but they wanna take me to 0. Fearless nigga, only God is my hero.
Let your angels cover me every day, cover me every night, no temor. I'm on the top and I keep on winning.
Yeah.
Higher we go, highest we go
day. I'm on a different time, only God can judge. Committee suicide, I was pushed to the urge. Anytime I smell my blessings, that be when the devil emerge. My spirit is broken, somebody come take me to church. Mama told me, boy, I'm proud of you. Don't you let nobody lie to you. Jehovah give blessings, go carry you. Anywhere you go, the power go follow you. When I was losing the battle, you told me to keep on. And then you gave me your shoulder to lean on.
Let your angels cover me every day, cover me every night, no temor. I'm on the top and I keep on winning. Higher we go, highest we go, yeah.
They can't take me out, but I came even harder. Yeah, I'm a chef, but I've been screaming louder. I made all this magic like abracadabra. Nyagana fire me, but still I'm a baba. Can't trust a person who sell out for dollar. Me value cause show like a vintage Impala. Will be on your downfall cause I know a lot of you niggas be haters and be crying all this power. You can just stay in your feelings. Me, I just break all the ceilings. I see all you people like miserable seamans. Wasting my time just to fight all these demons. Idols go tend to your rivals. Pray and just pick up your Bible. Y'all don't know why you can't get close to Michael. Me money pump bam, me just for my survival. Man, I've been fighting this battle with demons inside of me. I just want to stay in my lane so nobody can bother me. Bitch, I'm too sensitive, intimate, touchy, me ego. Thought I had niggas and someone told me how they go ride for me. All along, all of them be jealous. Fake souls always make me nervous. Out of here, bitch, I'm on my peppers. Pull me down, still I'm breaking records. I'm on 1,000, but they wanna take me to 0. Fearless nigga, only God is my hero.
Welcome back there, Sako Die. Just, well, they say he's one of the finest rappers on the African continent, and I agree. Sometimes that battle between him and MI and Vector, the Viper. Oh yes, just to put this out there, that I can actually fit in as a music DJ. Not the ones who spin all of those things though, but just talking you through songs, yeah, I could easily do it. This is me putting my market out there. Let's talk sports. Welcome back to the show, to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. It's been quite the week for football lovers on the African continent. I say this not in a pleasant tone, but complete distaste. During the week, on Tuesday to be specific, the Confederation du African Football, in English, CAF, they made it official that their appeals board, which by the way is led by a Nigerian judge, have overturned Senegal's triumph in Rabat by forfeit following Morocco's appeal. In a nutshell, what this whole grammar entails is that Morocco, by the verdict of the appeals board, are now the 2025 AFCON champions and not Senegal. The reactions, you know, following what I personally consider to be ludicrous, has continued to come in. Lots of reactions, and some saying, oh, calf, rascals. Some are saying, calf, are you guys drunk? The latest being the Senegalese Football Federation, FSF, saying the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations title, and I quote, cannot be taken away from the team. And they've in all areas rejected the controversial decision by CAF. The federal government and the FA have condemned the ruling as unjust and illegal, saying their team earned the title on the field and promising to appeal the court to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which naturally I expect them to do it. I can take an entire hour to talk about, you know, how CAF's decision is complete rubbish. I can do it. This is my field. And how much damage this decision taken by the appeals board of CAF, how much damage it's done to the game on the continent than whatever respite they imagined. But because I barely have time on Africa Weekly today, I'll summarize by saying whatever happens next, this dispute, this decision taken by CAF's appeals board to strip Senegal of their well-deserved trophy, which they won on the pitch, has already left a bitter taste. Because in sport, it's the game on the pitch that should count most. Anything, any decision taken outside of regulations on the pitch, I believe it equals to fraud. It's fraudulent. It shouldn't be welcomed. Senegal say they will appeal to CAS, which is the Court of Arbitration for Sports. Morocco say they welcome the decision of CAF. We wait. The dispute certainly is far from over. I was in Rabat. I saw the entirety of what transpired. The fact that that game completed its course, not just in 90 minutes. It had a Moroccan player miss a penalty. It went into extra time. Senegal won. Yes, there was an incident on the pitch that ensured that the players refused to play for 7 minutes. But the fact that the referee continued that fixture, that trophy should stay resident in Dakar, Senegal. Nowhere should it be in Rabat. But CAF is saying Morocco are champion. Senegal is saying we're fighting this to the end. I've got about 2 minutes. Just quickly dash across the continent, tell you the teams who are doing well in Nigeria. Rivers United are top of the league. They've got about 52 points. They're doing great things in South Africa. The Betway Premiership, Orlando Pirates are top of the league with 48 points. Mamelodi Sundowns is second. In the Ghanaian Premier League, the current campaign, Maidama SC are top, 46 points from 25 matches, just ahead of Bibiani Gold Stars and Accra Hearts of Oak. Aduna FC stay in fourth. In Morocco, the Pro Botola Raja Athletic are top. They have 30 points. And Maghreb Defez, we've got a game in hand, by the way, are second, keeping the title race very competitive. They also do have ASL Far and Wydad in fourth position. In Senegal, home of the current African champions on the pitch, Morocco on paper though, you've got Agel de Rofisk comfortably ahead with 39 points, leading US Gor and Tanguet FC. And in the Egyptian Premier League, Zamalek, proper team, atop. Well, they're tied on points actually alongside Pyramids, 43 points after 20 games. Alakli, the club of the century, close behind. Well, see if I can squeeze some current score for fans of the Premier League who are listening to Africa Weekly this weekend. Let's tell you that in England, well, Fulham are currently leading 2-1 against Burnley. Earlier today, by the way, Liverpool lost to Brighton by 2-1. Similar scoreline, it seems. There's a big fixture tomorrow at Wembley. If you can be there, go watch the EFL final between Arsenal and Manchester City. Of course, I'm rooting for City. Anything but Arsenal winning any trophy this season. Yeah,
In Yoruba, they say Ote, Otenimi for the time being, though. Just mean I'm anti-Arsenal and all your trophies. That's the size of the package in Africa Weekly. Fingers crossed, we'll return same time next week on the show. Big shout out to my producer, wonderful. I'm Emmanuel Lightsim on behalf of Chris Okunowa. Have a great weekend. Cheers.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare.
See my shoulder.